Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We're going to talk about the blood of Christ today, and I'm going to talk about Abraham, and I really want you to get a hold of this. This is powerful stuff, and when we understand this, this is very relative. It's very much to what we can relate to, because Abraham went through the same things we're going through. He had to believe God, and that's the same way it is with us. We have to believe it. That's what everything in God's kingdom operates and functions by faith. See that? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're here to grow in faith. Amen? That's why we come to church. That's why we are the church. We're growing in our faith. Okay? Now, let's go to our vision. And let's look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, then he brought out him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Keep moving. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a female goat, a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for everyone here. Father, we lift up the families of those who have lost the soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, the 13 soldiers. Lord, we just bring them before you, those families. We pray, Lord, you will work that for the good. And we pray that good is going to come out of that. And Lord, people are going to call on your name and be saved. And Lord, salvation is coming to those homes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we believe that. And Lord, we just come to you this morning. We ask that you increase our understanding. Help us understand spiritually. Lord, we trust you. And we're going to give you the praise and honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Okay. Now, what we just read was about, it says Abram, but he's Abraham. His name was Abram, and then he changed his name to Abraham. So, I'll give you a little backstory. God called Abram out of idolatry. He was into idolatry. And when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans, there was a city devoted to Nannar. And Nannar was a moon god. And Abram was worshiping false gods. If you study the history of Abram, you'll see that. But God made promises to Abram. You know what, folks? When God makes a promise to you, you have to believe it. You have to believe it, and then act on it. See, if you don't act on it, it's not going to become yours. Am I making sense? You have to believe it and act on it. When God has made promises to us, if we will act on it and believe it, they're going to come to fruition in our life. It may take a minute, but folks, we have to learn and grow while we're getting to the promises, right? Now, in Acts 7:2, it says, God, the glory of God appeared to Father Abraham. Glory means what God originated and intended. So now look at this. Most of us are not commanded to pull up stakes and go to a strange country like Abraham did. Abraham left his family. God had him leave his family. Sometimes you got to get away from the familiar. You see that? Because sometimes your own family will pull you back and try to hold you, keep you from growing in the faith. I remember my dad, when I got saved, he tried to keep me busy on Sunday. He didn't want me growing and changing because I was changing in the faith. You see that? Because he would ask me to do something, and I'm over there cutting his trees, trimming and doing all this stuff. I got to go to church. Well, I need you to do this. Well, I got to go do this. I'll help you out later. You see what I'm saying? He called Abraham out of the familiar. Sometimes you got to get away from the familiar. Sometimes there's going to be serious problems in your family, in your career, in your finances, in your church. And we wonder why God has permitted them. These things happen to you for a reason. God's seeing if you're going to believe him for his promises. If you're going to inherit what God has, you're going to have to believe it, just like Abraham. You see that? That's what I'm trying to help you see this. Now, it's going to take faith. And God's obedience to God's word is fulfilling his will. It's fulfilling God's will. Now, when Abraham was in this, in chapter 15, what we're getting ready to look at, he was in a tent. And in this tent, he had left city Ai, A-I, and that's how it's pronounced, A-I. If you read the backstory on it, you'll see the word A-I. A-I, and he had his tent. A-I was at the east, and Bethel was at the west. So he's going from Ai, and he's headed towards Bethel. Ai, if you look up what Ai means in the Hebrew, it means ruin. So Abraham was going from a ruined life to Bethel, which means house of God. That's just like you and I. Our lives were in ruin, and now we're in the house of God. The house of God means family of God. See that? When you're in God's, that's what the word house means, family. When you're in the family of God, you're different. You see that? For once you were not a people of God, but now you have become a people of God. And once you did not obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy through the blood of Jesus. You see that? You once weren't a people of God, but now you are. You were in ruin, and now you're headed to Bethel. You're in the family of God. Don't you like that? Don't you like the Bible? I like the Bible. All right, now watch this. So, think about this. In chapter 12, God called him to a land, and he said, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. Abraham begins to move forward on his journey. Now listen. So he experiences from chapter 12 to chapter 15 all these vicissitudes of life, up and down, much like we go through. Anybody go through ups and downs? You're going to have them. You think you're insulated from problems when you become a Christian? No. You're not. Sometimes it's going to add a little few extras to your life. But you see, now you've got some power to rise above it. And now it doesn't have its effect on you like it used to. And now you're moving forward. So now think about this. Now, okay. So God promised Abraham posterity and land. Abraham's in a tent in chapter 15. He's in a tent, and it's been a decade. Chapter 15 is what we just read. It's been a decade since he's made those promises. So Abraham is kind of sulking. He's sulking and, you know, a little bit trying to get discouraged. Anybody ever get that way? Right? Anybody ever have a pity party? You're the only one that shows up, right? Nobody wants to come to that party. And you don't want to call me either. I'm okay. I won't call you to mine, and don't call me to yours. It's going to be all right. So now think about this. Abraham was in his tent, and just being in a tent alone meant he did not possess land. So the idea is he's in a tent, and outwardly he doesn't possess land, and he knows this. It's been 10 years. He doesn't have children yet. He doesn't have land, so he's sulking. Now, but he's still believing in spite of it all. Let's look at verse 6. What's taking place is God is reissuing his promise to Abraham. Look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Because he kept believing. Even after the 10 years of not possessing everything that God had promised. But now he possessed some of the things, but not everything. Now look. God says, look now. He took him outside the tent. He says, look at the stars. All these stars are going to be your descendants. You see that? That's us. We are like those descendants. Abraham is a representation of our spiritual father. You see that? Now, so he reminded Abraham of his goodness, but he's also reminding Abraham of his power. In verse 7, let's look at that. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. So now he's going to reissue the promise in a way that we're even taking communion today. I want you to look at this. He's reminding him of the covenant that he had made with Abraham. Okay? Now, what he did in verse 9, now watch this. He said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So now, what's he doing that for? Look at the next verse. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Now think about this. This is what they used to do for sin and make a covenant. It was called a blood covenant. That's what Christianity is. You are in a blood covenant because Jesus shed his blood for your sins to forgive you of all your sins. That's how you can be healed of your past. He heals you through the love relationship and the blood of Christ. Now watch this. When you understand it, it has power. Now get this. What they would do is they would cut these sacrifices, these animals in half, heifers and lambs and goats, and cut them in half, and then they would walk through the middle of it. They'd have those sacrifices on each side. They would walk through the middle of it, and the whole idea is you are making this covenant with another person, but God was making this with Abraham. So what's going on here is you see the sacrifices on each side. In other words, be it unto you, this could happen to me if I don't hold up my end of the bargain. You see that? I've got to do my part in the bargain. I've got to hold up my end in the covenant. You see that? And that's what's going on. He's reissuing his promises and reminding him of the covenant he had with Abraham. And that's what we take communion for. It's a reminder of a blood covenant. You catching this? This is huge. Now, Abraham reestablished the covenant with God. Now look at this. Give me verse 11. When the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now what's he saying here? Vultures are really types and shadows of demon forces. Because a vulture is nasty. Vultures only eat dead things. They only eat dead things. They won't even eat something that's alive. See, an eagle represents God. Talks about the eagle and in the four faces of the wheel in Ezekiel, the eagle. And you know what? It represents God's character. And see, a golden eagle, when a golden eagle finds a mate, they hang out for 3 years. They hang out for 3 years before they build a nest and start having kids. Birds, you know, little birds. So, now think about this. So they hang out. And then before they build the nest, the female will go down on the ground or even up high, and she'll grab a log, not a twig, a log, and she'll go up as high as 10,000 feet because they can fly up as high as 40,000 feet and still breathe. They're different than all the rest of the birds. So the female will go up and she'll fly up and drop that log, and then the male has to come down and catch it before it hits the ground and bring it back to her. She says, now we'll build our nest. You know what the test is? If you can't take care of my children, we're not going to build this nest. You see that? That's what that was. Because when the children get to a certain age, they push them out of the nest. And then the male has to come down and catch them and bring them back to the nest. A few times. Then after that, they go on their own. Just like Olivia, she's on her own now. She's out of the nest. Everybody says, oh, you're empty nesters. That's where that came from. Woohoo! Hey, Olivia, she's probably watching, but it's going to be all right. We talked to her till 11:30 last night. It was good. But you see, that's the character of God. But a vulture's not like that. A vulture doesn't wait a minute before he hooks up with something. He'll hook up when a vulture's got babies, female. A male vulture will come up in the nest and try to do something up with her. You getting the picture? They don't have that nature, that character. A vulture will sit there and eat a dead animal until they can't even fly. They'll eat and eat and eat and eat on that dead carcass until they... Remember the cartoons? Remember that? You remember that? When I was a kid, we used to watch... Yeah, the crow cartoon. But there'd be vultures on there. They'd be so full. They can't even fly. You know, just goofy. You know what they'll do? You know, if you come in and try to intrude on them eating, they'll puke on you. Vultures are nasty. Trying to show you something here. The vultures came to take the sacrifice. You see that? And that's what's going on today. We have vultures trying to remove the sacrifice of Christ. out of our life. Are you catching this? And the Bible says Abram drove them away. The word drove means to fight with a force. In other words, by force, he got them out of there. They aren't taking this out. You see this? So we're going to have to fight for what we believe is sacred. Are you catching this? And the sacrifice of Christ is sacred. I'm trying to help you see this. And this is, you're going to have to fight for that. Because folks, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to go through things for what we believe. We're going to have some vicissitudes of life. We're going to go up and down. Now watch. So, the sacrifice of Christ is going to be attacked. And it is being attacked. Antichrist all around us. Have you noticed what we stand for and what we believe? It's always being attacked. It's like everything is against what we stand for. The Bible talks about that, though, doesn't it? Now, the cross is the blood sacrifice that Jesus paid for all our sins, past, present, future. He cleansed us from all our sin and cleansed even our conscience from dead works to serve the living God by the blood of Christ. Now, in Colossians 1:19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell." When you're in Christ, you're fulfilled in life. You can be living in a hut with the roof leaking in Haiti and be fulfilled. You can be in a high rise in Hawaii and be miserable as a goose in a hailstorm without Christ. Are you listening to me? When you're in the will of God and fulfilled, that's because you're in his will. Fulfillment. People are looking for fulfillment. Now, look at this. It says, "By him you have been reconciled, all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, he made peace through the blood of the cross with God." You see, when you accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you made peace with God. When you have peace with God through his blood, now you can have peace with yourself and you can have peace with people. See, if you're always in conflict with people, it's coming from you. You need to look how you're responding towards people. When you understand the blood of Christ, you're no longer going to be in strife and conflict all the time because you understand. People are broken. People can only be healed through the love of Christ. Are you hearing me? People's parents have abandoned them. People have been through divorce. People have grown up with drug addicts. We've had people in this church, their parents don't even come to pick them up sometimes. And we find them drunk somewhere. This is where they belong. Am I making sense? We're not going to judge them and condemn them. We're going to help them. And if they hurt your feelings, get over it. Are you with me? Come on, am I making sense? Oh, help us, Lord. Hebrews 9:26, look at this. You guys get me stirred up. "He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." You see that? All sin has been dealt with. When you understand spiritually what's taking place, it can't help but change you. Now look at this. Verse 27. "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." That's you and me. We're waiting for the return of Christ. But guess what? When he comes back, he's not going to come back to forgive you of your sins anymore. He's not coming back as the Lamb that takes away our sins. He's coming back on a horse, and in fury. Are you with me? And now listen, he's going to bring us all back home with him. Are you catching this? And the ones that have not repented and haven't accepted him, it's going to be too late. Are you getting this? Accepting him now. Now is the day of salvation. Now, not now. So, this is important. They're trying to remove the sacrifice. That's what our government's doing. I mean, they're trying to diminish what we believe and what we stand for. Now, if the enemy can steal the sacrifice of Christ out of our hearts, that's everything to a believer. I'm going to tell you something. Persecution is coming. And you're going to be persecuted. You are going to be persecuted for what you believe. You will be persecuted. The Bible says in Timothy, those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. You ought to count it an honor to be persecuted for Christ. Are you listening to me? It ought to be an honor to be persecuted for Christ. Huh? The Bible says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see that? The word persecute, pursue to execute. So something is after you. It's never people. It's never people. We got to love people. We got to love people and know where that's coming from. See, when you understand, they're persecuting you, you can still be happy because you understand. They're broken and they're still hurt in their pain. And they're looking for something to heal their pain. A weed, a joint, alcohol, or sex or something to alleviate their pain. But their pain's not going to be removed until they tap into the love of Christ. And so now they're looking, but they're looking at you. You got to have some love for them. Real love. Unconditional love. I'm spitting. Are you catching this? Now, Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in me you will have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's telling us in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Remember, the word tribulation comes from the word tribulum. And a tribulum was a farming instrument. And they made it out of oak and hardwood. And they would scrape this long farming instrument, this tribulum, over the wheat and the tare. And they would scrape it, and it would separate the wheat from the tare. The tares would be burned, and the wheat was the fruit left over. So when the word tribulation means trouble. So when you're in trouble and you're going through trouble, there's a separation going on. He's bringing out the good because he wants to use the good in your life. But he wants to get rid of the wrong so you can be a better witness to the people you're around and really show them some love. Because he says through many tribulations, you enter the kingdom of God. In Acts 14, through many tribulations, you enter the kingdom of God. We can enter the kingdom of God now.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.